The Human-Centric Podcast. The podcast all about the talents of today and tomorrow. Presented by Deutsche Telekom.
Human beings' talent is at the heart of strategy because people make it happen. People make strategy happen. Welcome to Human-Centric Podcast. Today we will talk about commercial talent and what it actually means and go deeper behind the meaning of it. What skills do we need to have? What competences do we need to have and how to really get there? We have this small project of going deeper behind corporate lingo and how just to pause for a moment and have a human conversation. What are we really trying to solve? What are we really talking about? We are doing it as a partnership. So I have my partner in crime locked down in Oslo. Hanem, welcome.
Hi. Yes, thank you, Svetlana. Yeah, so if you're looking from the inside perspective, I am definitely looking from the outside perspective. For the last 20 years, I have been training and connecting with a multitude of organizations and NGOs and politicians, all about the theme, how to communicate well when you need to communicate well. And it's led me to this curiosity quest of investigating how organizations actually work to implement strategies. And how the human beings at any given time is at the core, of course they are, of implementing strategies. And how can you actually go beneath the surface and have the necessary conversations to make it understandable and for people to know how to show up, what to do? So that's why we're here, isn't it, Svetlana?
Outside in, inside out. And we are very happy to have, you know, two gentlemen as our guests. So Mladen, Rolf, a warm welcome.
Thank you.
Mladen, you know, I was thinking on how to introduce you. So we know each other for quite some time, and it's 1 year since you joined DT.
11 months, yes.
11 months, almost there.
Almost there.
I remember when I joined Deutsche Telekom, it was like I was calling myself a newcomer for 2 years in a row, because you really have to take time to absorb what's inside.
True, I consider myself still as a new guy in the company, even if it is 11 months, but yeah.
So warm welcome. And Rolf,
thank you.
Really happy to have you in. I know we worked together in the European segment and we worked a lot about getting Europe back to growth and working growth mindset. You're coming from the commercial side of organization. And I think I have to say, really happy to have you because you associate, in my mind, with talent development. Because you really stood behind those words and you walked the talk. So I'm quite excited to see how the conversation will flow.
Thank you. I'm also very excited. Thank you.
Mladen, if I can take us back to you and your background for a second, because you actually traveled across borders. You've been to quite a multitude of countries, am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Just a few words about myself. I'm an engineer who wanted to be an architect and ended up as a marketeer. So it was quite some journey, and then also on a couple of geographies. Yeah, I started actually developing in telco, born and raised in consumer a long time ago, 17 years ago. And then after 7-8 years, I just thought like, okay, let's explore something else. And then I moved to Norway back in 2011 in your beautiful Oslo, where you're currently locked.
Yeah.
And then after, it was supposed to be 2 years, but then after 5 years, I moved a little bit more south to the home, which was in Denmark, in Copenhagen. And then after a couple of years, I'm now in Bonn, so I'm getting closer and closer to home. So let's see what will be the next destination.
Well, and thank you as a guest for actually mentioning what I've forgotten to mention, that of course the reason why I'm on the screen today is because I'm actually in lockdown because of the virus we're all getting to know rather well, isn't it? So here we are. And what you're saying, Mladen, is that you've traveled across borders, both from a geographical point of view, but not in the least also from like a field of expertise perspective.
True.
That is interesting to me.
True, yeah.
If you look at that kind of multi-culti approach or multi-skills approach, and you link that to the idea of talent, which is, of course, what we're discussing here, how does that show up for you? Do you have any reflections on that?
Well, yeah, you know, the thing that, you know, I can speak about my experience, I was always coming somewhere to bring my own expertise to the local teams, and also to try to learn and to get from all those teams and those cultures something for myself. And then that was like some kind of constant process of, let's say, self-inventing myself or reinventing myself and also trying to develop myself into different skills. And then I was trying to do many different things, starting with the customer-facing roles, ending up with the marketing and product. And actually, that was more or less developing myself as a person, as a leader. And also, you know, that was giving me some kind of learning that actually the constant learning is the thing that is common in all those things, because, you know, that is something that is developing myself as a person and also as a leader. So that is some kind of reflection
that
on that.
Excellent point, which we're also discussing in another episode on this season of the podcast, the idea of eternal learning being the only possible perspective really now in order to remain being lucrative or a talent for the organization you're working for. That's great. Thank you very much. And Rolf, are you, if we look at the idea of talent and we look at your background, tell us a little bit about how you got to where you are today.
Oh, yeah, that's a good starting point, because I have never been in a talent program, I must say.
But you were developing talent. You were quite busy doing that.
Well, yeah. It's never too late, Rolf. It's never too late. You can join one now.
I think for me, starting a talent program, it's also being part of that. I will talk about this later on. Well, how did I get where I am today? I think it started a long time ago, before I was at Deutsche Telekom. I was always eager to become a photographer. And so when I was 15, I wanted to be a press photographer in my local city. And with 17, I was a press photographer in my local city, and I thought it's boring. And I wanted to become a press photographer in the capital, Bonn. And 2 years later, I was a press photographer in capital, Bonn, and I thought, I was working for one of the biggest news agencies worldwide for Associated Press. And I thought, maybe this is, after a while, this is boring, so I have to proceed. And this took me to study business administration. This took me to be a media consultant. This took me to enter, during the hype around telecommunications, into Deutsche Telekom. And this was so far my final destination. I'm now with Deutsche Telekom since 20 years.
20 years.
20 years. And I never had a boring day, because in this industry, everything is always changing. You have new regulation policies, you have new technologies, you have new competition. And in my career here, it took me from entering the fixed network side. So I was with T-Com 20 years ago on the B2B side, domestic business. Then I changed over to T-Mobile Germany, also domestic mobile business. And from there, I went international, to the EU headquarters, running the commercial management there. I just talked to Mladen, maybe I'm your predecessor, something like that. Yes, this was 10 years ago. And from there, I entered the international wholesale market and international wholesale department. Gosh. Honestly saying, at that point in time, I did not have any clue about international wholesale. But this is exactly what I'm expecting also from people who want to grow, to enter into new fields, to bring over what they have collected as experience before, and then try to change what they find, but also being inspired what they get there.
Rolf mentioned wholesale. I wanted to go there because I thought for many people it would be really understandable. So I wanted to double click on that to explain a bit more, because you're working with wholesale now.
Yeah, of course, there's domestic wholesale. I've never been to domestic wholesale. The international wholesale is all the interfaces we have to other international carriers. And this is very important, because carrier, as Deutsche Telekom, we are not really international. So we need networks wherever you are in the world. In Norway, we need to be connected to terminate voice. We need roaming agreements there. We need IP peering. This means, although the internet is not really international, it's not one big network. So we need to connect also the OTTs to our network, and this is what we are dealing with.
So if I speak as a tourist listening in, what you're saying is, when I travel to another country, it doesn't necessarily mean that there's an agreement between my telecom company and the country I'm traveling to.
And this is there, the kind is of definitely an agreement between the country you're traveling to and my department. Otherwise, you
wouldn't be exactly. That's where we meet you. Check mark. I want to bring us back, Rolf, to the idea. I think what you're stating beautifully is that boredom in itself can be a driver for personal development.
Absolutely. I think whenever you are bored on your position, you need to move on. Yeah, this is my feeling that I always had. Yeah, so for me in the past, it was always that I was very excited the first year. The second year, it was okay. And the third year, I thought everything is organized. And then you have to move on. Yeah. My current position I'm on since 7 years, so you can read from that. I've never been bored. It's a daily challenge and still a lot to do.
It's a compliment wherever you go. You will never be bored, for sure. The idea of being bored too much, leading to actually creating some change for yourself. And then on the other hand of that scale, there will be never ever being bored, but maybe being like too stressed or frightened or change happening too much. Did you ever experience that in your life?
Yes, and this is a must. Also, if you change and you enter a new position, I would really wonder if you are not stressed. Yeah, there are new people, there are new tasks, there are many things you don't know, there's a new culture. So if you're not stressed, I would say something is wrong. Yeah, I was always stressed the first year. Yeah, hopefully
you
could not perceive it, but of course you have to get into that. But I would not say stressed, it's a challenge in the end. Yeah, and I personally, I love challenges. So whatever I do, I love it. I mentioned my challenge as a photographer in the past. So it was really the challenge to get there, to do it, to prove I can do it. Mm. And then after a while, finding there is a certain routine and everything you could cover, you covered. Yeah. And this is, of course, also the same in telco life. Yeah.
And Mladen, am I right? It sounds like it's a bit of the same with you and the way you've been shifting.
Yeah, exactly. I was just listening and then I now see that I have more common things with Rolf. So actually, exactly the same feeling. When I felt it is like a little bit boring, or I would not say even boring, but that, you know, the things are going very easy, smoothly, that I'm not needed anymore to, you know, sparkle something in the organization, then it's a good time for change and to go to somewhere else where actually I will feel some kind of internal drive to actually be able to understand that there is something I don't know, and then to try to develop myself to actually fulfill that role. So that is some kind of constant feeling that I'm looking for. And this is actually why I came to Deutsche Telekom also 11 months ago, and I still feel that kind of, you know, feeling inside that there is still something I don't know here, and then I'm still learning a lot here.
So, of course, we call ourselves the human-centric podcast, and the conversation that we need to have with you two gentlemen today certainly needs to be about customer-centric behavior and phenomenons and relationships and whatever, right? So if we're looking to develop talent that will be good at the customer-centric perspective, can I take us there? How can we define what skill set is needed in order to be good for, to be made good use of for you guys today?
Well, if I pick this question, of course, customer centricity can be a buzzword. Yeah. But in the end, it's very much about, do you really understand the market environment? Do you have the analytical skills to understand it? But are you also close enough to those people who are using your product? And from there, you need to come. You need to develop those propositions that your customers don't need today, but those propositions they need tomorrow. Normally, this is really a 36-degree approach between market research, between talking to customers. I very often talk to the front-end people, yeah, because they have a very, very mature feeling about what is going on. And of course, you need to talk to the customers themselves. And from that, you need to develop the next stage of propositions.
It's such an interesting point, isn't it, to understand that it's not about the thing you're selling. It's about how the customer is going to feel when they have it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And that shift is so, and I love you for saying the word buzzword, because that's exactly what we're trying to shoot down here. It's like go beneath and explore what is actually at the core of all this lingo in the corporate world. And yes, customer centricity is one of them. Yeah. And you're definitely saying then that it's got to do with understanding and analyzing the target group, understanding what's out there in the market and what lies ahead of us rather than behind us, for sure.
Yeah, just one more word. Right? It's about the needs the customers have in the future. And
Steve Jobs once said, that they have them.
Yeah, Steve Jobs once said, I don't need market research because our customers don't know today what they need tomorrow. Yeah. I think we still need market research, but it's this a little bit on top, yeah, that you know more about the needs of the future than your customers know today. Mm-hmm.
Love it. Yeah. What would be your perspective?
Just to demystify a little bit, because now we are speaking a little bit about the models on high level terms, just to, you know, make it a little bit more practical. You know, the way how you can develop people and talents to think in that direction, or to always keep the customer in mind, besides the different tricks that, you know, you can put the customer in the room or some kind of a virtual customer or whatever. But actually, in your work, when you're developing propositions or doing something for the customer or journey or whatever, you can ask two simple questions. One is, why would someone buy this? Another one is, why would someone buy this from you? And then those are super, at least in my personal experience, those are two super powerful questions that are always actually ending up on the customer, because then you need to develop something that someone needs. And also you need to develop something that is better than someone else is able to develop it. And then, you know, you need to put the customer in the center. Otherwise, you will not be able to answer on those questions.
So here we are learning how to survive in the marketplace with the two gentlemen, Svetlana. The idea of that, what kind of person does it then take? Who gets to be good at what you're just describing? What is the profile we're looking for?
And if I can build on that, Hannah, I'm just thinking that, you know, the customers, what Rolf is mentioning about the needs of tomorrow, yeah, technology is developing rapidly. How customers engage in what they want also developing rapidly. So to really be able to engage with customers, to engage where they are, and they have less and less time for us, yeah? So what do we need inside ZT in terms of talent? What roles, profiles, skill sets? Because how to demystify this commercial talent for tomorrow? What is it?
So it goes a little bit with the way of work, because the way how you're working, the way how you're developing your propositions, and where do you put the customer in that process? Mm-hmm. Because as telecom sector, we are usually going inside out. So we believe that customer something needs. We believe that customer will want this. We believe that this will be good for the customer. And then we face the market, we face the customer, and then we understand, oops, we sold only 100 of some pieces or something is wrong. Then we go back, and all those processes are quite long. So actually, instead of, you know, doing it that way, we can change. And that's where the agility is coming into the play, and the whole new way of work that we are now experimenting with a couple of our NatCos, actually putting the customer in the beginning of the process. So you actually prototype, or you even prototype. You pretend that you have the product. You go to the customer, and then you check. And then you go back, and then you check again, and then you go back. And then actually that is the way how you can actually involve the customer in the early beginning. And then speaking about the skills and people that are actually and profiles that are good in that, you feel that because you feel the passion. Because some people are just having the passion to, you know, understand the customer, create something for them and go there. And some other people are, you know, just different. So you can teach them to some extent, but also, you know, maybe they are not for that kind of role, so they can do some other things.
So here we are again at this very well-used word in this season of discussing talent. You are saying that passion is a core ingredient, and that if you don't have the passion for it, whatever that it may be, then you need to find some other place where you have passion.
I completely agree. At least that's my view.
Yeah. That's why we're here.
Without passion, it's really difficult. And then speaking about, you know, what Rolf mentioned, being bored somewhere, you know, when you lose the passion, then you're getting bored. Mm. So you need to have passion. Otherwise, you know, there is no point.
In a way, I would argue if you are on a payroll, you have to make sure you keep being passionate. And if not, you have to be aware of it yourself.
True. But also that is changing a bit from what we can see now. It's not only about the payroll and the salary anymore.
Reading between the lines and knowing you, Mladenby, is also about the impact and purpose you create. Yeah, that's kind of your key driver. It gives you passion because the outcome is what you're after.
It's about purpose. You know, we need to find our purpose. And then, you know, you're starting somewhere, you need to earn for your living. And then your motives and your actually motivation is changing in time. And then in certain moment, you reach some kind of level where you need to, you know, understand the purpose. And then, you know, that's what you go for. So, you know, there needs to be something that is bigger than you. Maybe something that will be, you know, that will stay there after you.
So commercial talent, in a way, what I heard is the way of work. So engaging customer more, and it's passion and it's purpose behind what you do. So that would be the key ingredients of commercial.
Yeah, and also some skills, of course. We cannot ignore the skills, because in certain areas, you know, people need to have some skills in order to be able to fulfill their tasks.
What skills are the most critical for commercial?
Well, if you're now speaking about, you know, what is coming and the whole digital trends that are, you know, taking over everything, so, and, you know, the full digitalization, then we are speaking about, let's say, two or three areas that are now super critical, and those are the resources that we are all fighting for, not only this industry, but also other industries. So we are speaking about, let's say, the value management people that are able to create some kind of value, understand the pricing, understand the data, understand the numbers. Mm-hmm. The second group, at least in my categorization, is the, let's say, customer-facing roles. Mm-hmm. We just described a little bit about that. And then the third one is, of course, typical digital channels, digital marketing, and all those new roles that are becoming necessary in our industry, but also in some other industries.
So to sum up our conversation so far, because I'm thinking, if there's a young talent out there in the organization somewhere, looking at one of you two gentlemen and kind of going, ooh, I want to be in his position in some years' time, right? I'm not talking about necessarily climbing the hierarchical ladder just for the sake of it, but because you want to make good use of yourself, and as we've established, we don't want to get bored, what would be your advice to someone young today in terms of being of good use to the organization you're in and climbing the ladder?
Well, first of all, I think it's this impatience you need to have, yeah, that you're never really satisfied, that it's good enough, that you always see there is an extra mile to go. I think it's very much also around creativity, that you have the ability to think a little bit different, like the other people do, to change the current system you're in. I'm a strong believer of the growth mindset theory, yeah, that you have this strong belief that you can grow with going this extra mile, yeah, with doing an extra effort, with learning on your job, yeah, with connecting to other people. And that it's not so much, even though we talk about talents here, that it's not so much about the talent you have, but the ambition you have. And definitely you need to have always a vision on the job that you are doing, where you want to bring it. But you also need a vision where you want to be in 1, 2, 3, or 4 years. Because without this vision, you will not move on. You will stagnate. And in the end, you will not be the best one on your job.
Oh, that's a lot of stuff all at once. And it's really great stuff in there. I want to kind of anchor and say, lo and behold, about the Carol Dweck work of growth mindset, of course. If you haven't seen the TED Talk, go see it. I love what she says about, you know, they give the grade, not yet, to a bunch of students, don't they? Have you seen that? They say, instead of getting a low grade for your mathematics test that you didn't do so well, you get the grade, you didn't get it yet. It's like, i.e., you will get there. And that's kind of what you're saying about vision, isn't it, too, Rolf? That unless you actually dare to dream, dare to envisage that you will get somewhere or will be able to achieve something, you are actually much farther away from actually getting to whatever it is you are dreaming of.
Absolutely. Yeah, you need to have this dream. And I think what you also need, and here we talk again about the talent program and talent management, you also need somebody in the organization who is supporting you, yeah, who is giving you trust, who is giving you the opportunity that you have a field where you can grow, yeah, that you can show that you can do more than you can do today. And, you know, it became to me so obvious 2 years ago when I was on a hike with my youngest daughter. She was 11 at that point in time, and she's a great swimmer. And I asked her during this hike, how did it come that over the last 2 years you are such a good swimmer? Before you were more or less mediocre. And she told me, well, you know, 2 years ago there was the change of trainer. And I had a trainer who was believing in me and who thought you are not mediocre, you are more, you can do more. And she told me, don't go swimming twice a week, go 3 times a week. I believe in you, you can do it. And I thought, what kind of great self-reflection of this girl, because in the end is exactly what you also need in our organization. Yeah, you need somebody who is believing in you, who is supporting you, who is giving you the room to improve. And you, of course, you have to fill this room at that point in time, and then you will grow.
Oh, my God, what an amazing story. I think what you're saying about that, then the role of the more experienced people in the organization suddenly changes for me. Because if I am, for a second, if I call myself an elder, if we are becoming the elders here, the elder's perspective on the young ones, if we help them dare to believe that they will be able to create what it is they want to create, that will certainly help them. That's part of what you're saying here, isn't it?
Absolutely. I can just confirm. Absolutely.
I'm mentoring. And then that's a brilliant little bridge right there to the topic that we wanted to talk to you guys about, because we are aware that actually both of you are fathers of daughters. Am I right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And Mladen, you win.
I win?
How many daughters do you have?
No, I'm not the winner. I'm the loser here. Only one.
You're the loser. Yeah. Oh, I got the wrong one. You're the one.
Sorry, that's my
one. Maybe I'm looking, you know, as a guy who has more kids, but yeah.
No,
only one.
Well, maybe we win if we only have one.
not yet.
Not yet. But I would
not
say,
yet.
In this case, I would say only one.
So I correct my perspective. And Rolf, you don't only have the 11-year-old, and you have 4 daughters. Am I right?
Me, yes, I have 4 daughters. Yeah, yes. But I can tell Vladan it always starts with 1 daughter. So you're still on the growth path.
Let's see. You never
so
know.
So if I go to the one question in here, of course, to get a little bit real, you know, we talk about talent development and we talk about like climbing in organizations. Can I bring the word gender onto the table? Can we talk about women and men? And the question that we wanted to ask you guys is like, how does this feed into how you raise your daughters? you have any thoughts about that?
You want to start?
You're more experienced, please.
I can
learn something.
Well, Hannah, this is definitely, of course, a topic I always carry on my mind. Yeah, especially when my kids are choosing subjects or doing sport or asking me for advice, which is also happening. I always give them three topics. Yeah, and the first one is go for sports. Yeah, because I just explained how important sports is to really get this growth mindset and this ambition on what you are doing. Always to become better. Yeah, this is the best thing that you can learn when you are doing sports. The second thing is go digital, yeah, because, of course, everything is softwareized, digitalized. And the third thing is go international. And there's also a strong belief that internationalization that we see now with the hyperscalers in place is going to take place in all industries that we have. Mm-hmm. And Germany, of course, being an export nation, this is definitely very, very important. And if you ask me, am I successful with this advice? On the digital part, unfortunately, not so much. Yeah, but my youngest daughter is now taking coding lessons. On the sports part, yes, all of them are very, very active in sport. My second oldest is even in a soccer team, only playing with boys, which I very appreciate. And going international, my oldest daughter is studying in the UK. Yeah, she really inhaled that, and she has a very, very international mindset meanwhile. Yeah.
Interesting. So I love your reflection on sports as a part of, I guess what you're saying is growing resilient.
Absolutely, yes.
In terms of surviving in hierarchies and in life, yeah.
Yeah, for me it's more this, if you're a runner, you run first 5 kilometers, then you run 10 kilometers, and then you say, I want to run these 10 kilometers faster. And then you say, I want to run a half marathon, and after that you want to run a marathon. And this is exactly this aspiration you need in this organization if you want to grow. Yeah, because if you're a good sportsman, you are never satisfied with your performance. Yeah, there's always more to go. Yeah, and that's why I think it's a good education for kids.
It's just a darn old good metaphor. It's a good metaphor for actually keeping impatient and keeping forward leaning in your work. That's great. Great stuff. Nadan, what would be your advice to your daughter?
Well, she's still, not even yet having 5 years, so it's a little bit early for sports or something else. But what we're trying to do, and besides the thing that she is super spoiled and there is no competition because she gets everything, whatever she does, actually what we are trying to embed in her DNA is some kind of like integrity. Because for me, that was important. For my wife, that is important. And also, we would love that she builds her own integrity, because everything else that Rolf was mentioning properly here, like, it is, of course, given. But integrity is something that, I would love to see that she's not losing in time. And for me, that is super important characteristic that, if there is something I can give to her, is like some kind of education and, that kind of sense of integrity. Everything else, the environment will change probably in time. So let's see how she will end up.
It's a limited matter, isn't it? How much we get to influence these little beings we create.
It is becoming, at least my fear is that we are becoming less and less important in their lives. And then society, the platforms and everything is becoming more and more important. And then we need to find our way how to still influence. But that is my big fear as a father, that actually, there is not much we can do now.
Hear, hear. I want to circle on back to that word, integrity. I think it's a beautiful place to look. And if we look at the advice coming from Rolf about like growing resilient and knowing how to challenge yourself and knowing how to grow. And if I mix that with integrity, Mladen, can I ask us to try and define what lies beneath the surface of that word? How do you teach someone integrity, for God's sake?
Being yourself, being the best of yourself and not making the compromises on your values, on your personal values. Mm-hmm. At least that is my top of my head definition, because I'm trying to reflect myself also. And that was my development in my career also, not only in the private life. When my personal values were attacked or in danger, that was the moment, besides being bored in some place, to actually leave and to go, because, I'm trying not to make the compromises with it, because it's not only about the professional life. It's also about being, being able to look at yourself and then, feeling good in your your everyday life and then having satisfaction with your business and with who you are there.
There's a big correlation in statistics about burnout syndrome. There's a big correlation between burnout syndrome and people having to lose their integrity at work. if you lose your integrity, if you have to lie about something, if you have to squeeze someone else down in order to survive, these are the kinds of things that will make you hit the wall, famously. So that just speaks to me of like the importance of the topic we're discussing. Yeah, so teaching someone to be having integrity and speaking your own truth and not compromising, and then having the courage to challenge yourself and go further. And like you said, run the half marathon, go for the marathon, go for the next big thing. Not allowing yourself to be complacent or be like boring, not being satisfied with boring. All of this would be, I guess, excellent advice for both sexes, right? For both male and female. If we turn back to the topic of like female, like gender balance and female leaders, is there such a thing as growing talents in a gender way in terms of the commercial world? This is just asking a real question here. I don't know if anyone has an answer.
For me personally, yes. When I talk about, again, coming back to my advice to my kids, I would always advise to go into an area that is not, if they are girls, that is not female-dominated. Yeah, that is rather male-dominated, and really to learn how to deal with that and also bring in their values, their thinking in this environment. Again, if I watch the soccer team of my second oldest, she is playing in a different way, soccer, than the boys. And this is the same if you have girls in your department. Yeah, and I have now many girls at home, but not so many women in my department. I must admit that. Yeah, and it's a pity. It's really a pity. And we are not lacking girls in our leadership team because we don't want them, but we don't have enough applications. Yeah, and I would recommend women more to go into these topics like technology, like engineering, like coding, and come from that perspective and then really enter these domains and enrich these fields.
I think, you know, that's what the scientists are saying now. You can differentiate between like the feminine and the masculine behaviors and qualities, and then the genders of women and men. So one man can have a lot of feminine behaviors, or one woman can have a lot of masculine behaviors. Would you agree? So what you're searching for, you know, it depends on what kind of women you get. And what we don't want is women ending up just behaving masculine in order to fit in, because that's not going to bring diversity, is it?
True. My belief about the good news, speaking about gender diversity, you know, there is like some kind of a topic that is here and around. And luckily, I was in Scandinavia for last 7-8 years. And, you know, it was somewhat better there, at least, you know, in my case. I was having two female bosses in Norway, also two female bosses in Denmark. So, you know, for me, that was not the big topic, or in those organizations, that was not a big topic. It was already solved. But I believe that, you know, the digital economy is actually bringing something new. And I believe that this generation will solve that problem or that question, because digital economy as such is a diverse economy. And then I believe that, you know, this generation or the next one just after us will solve that question, and we will not speak about that in, let's say, 10, 15 years from now. But we need to do the job.
Yeah. Let's keep the fingers crossed for that. Yeah.
Yep.
So I think that's quite inspiring. You know, I want to share one observation, Hanna. So if you talk about the commercial talent, and the topic was a commercial talent, and what I hear, what the things are coming up are not very much technical, not very much commercial. So growth mindset, resilience, integrity, passion. So it's really very, very human. Yeah. So you just need to find people with the heart for the commercial work, for the work with the customer. And I want to get your professional opinion on that. As my internal hunt for talent in DT, I hear very often a statement that we lack commercial talent. What do we lack? Do we lack passion? Do we lack skills? If you can take me there, like, what's your perspective behind that?
We are lacking partly the talents, because I already mentioned that at the beginning of the conversation that, you know, there is more and more industries fighting for the talents. And we see that globally, you know, if you stick to B2B, we are actually lacking the talents, because it's, you know, bigger and bigger problem. You know, in time, it will be even a bigger problem. But at the end, you know, I believe that at least in B2B area, we've been constantly speaking about, you know, upskilling people. And that was more or less the only source of talent. So we've been thinking about like, okay, we have the customer-facing teams, and then your path in B2B is going, you know, in some kind of sales organization, and then going up. And and probably B2B is not super open, or was not super open, for actually some kind of reskilling, and then trying to accept the talents from consumer, from other industries, from partner network, etc. And I believe that is something that is changing, and that is something that will change the structure of our talent pool.
The reskilling, upskilling, and engaging more people who have passion for that. But can you explain a bit more, Mladen, what is missing? you know, what exactly is missing that we are fighting for to get in?
Well, I can start with the attractiveness, how we are presenting our area to our talents. So if you look into the micro level, the B2B in telco, it was always the smaller brother of B2C, smaller business than B2C. And then, you know, it is, let's say, less focused and less lights on that. So we need to somehow make those mm-hmm. positions attractive, because at the end, B2B is, I would say, more attractive. At least I was changing from B2C to B2B at the half of my career. And for me, it was like super exciting now, you know. It's more things that are more interesting in B2B than in B2C, because, you know, you have more things to do, you have more customers,
you have bigger
exactly. So it's like attractiveness of it, and then, you know, with that we will get a bigger pool of talents, and then it will be easier. Let's start with that.
Okay, thanks, Plazin. Rolf.
Well, you know, I just switched with my department to the B2B area of Telekom Germany. And I must say, I did not observe that there is a lack of talent. I mm-hmm. think there are great people in this organization, great talents in what they do. I'm rather concerned about the talent of the future. Mm-hmm, yeah? Mm-hmm. The question, are we hiring fast enough those skills that you need in the future? Yeah, around softwareization, around all these developments that are taking place right now, like blockchain development, artificial intelligence. You need, of course, these very, very special skills where we are competing with many, many, many big companies around the world. And here I mentioned the hyperscalers mm-hmm, again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I already tried to hire somebody from a hyperscaler, mm-hmm. and you see, well, I'm with Vladan, the attractiveness of Deutsche Telekom compared to maybe Amazon Web Services is different. Yeah, it's different. And this is a little bit concerning me, yeah, mm-hmm, that maybe mm-hmm. we are not fast enough to develop the talent skill set mm-hmm. of the future. And then we are lagging behind. Yeah. And
so if I if I interpret the conversation, then that's a fascinating connection for me. You're saying somehow the conversation goes in a circle, because earlier we were talking about interpreting the outside world, the interpreting the customer in order to understand what they're going to need. But now we're also saying we need to interpret the talents out there and see what they're going to want to see in a company such as Deutsche Telekom. What will they be looking for in order to want to come to you and spend their time with you?
Purpose.
Anything else? Yeah, I think it's a number one.
Because, you know, we are now speaking with a different generation. So they're not looking for the compensation only, as we have touched upon. They're looking for some kind of purpose and to make some kind of impact and to, you know, build something, to create something. And then, you know, we need to make our industry even more attractive. And we need to understand what is the purpose of our industry, and then somehow, you know, present it to them. Because at the end, if you think about the purpose of our industry, where we are connecting everyone and everything, with the highlight on thing, so meaning everything will be connected, and also bringing the technology to the society, I'm not sure if someone has a bigger and better purpose than that. But maybe we should be a little bit better in saying that purpose and attracting people to actually come to our industry, because we have all the fundamental ingredients to actually build something super significant and super valuable, and we are doing that. But maybe we are not talking properly about that.
Aha. And also I give you another word right back, and that's the word integrity. Hmm. Right? If I'm looking as a talent for an organization I want to work in, as far as I understand, at least the kids I speak to these days, they are looking for corporations that have integrity and that work on the right side of the sustainable development, for instance.
Yeah, absolutely. Integrity, of course, plays a key role. But I would not be so much concerned about integrity when we talk about Deutsche Telekom. I'm more concerned about, and you'll be coming back to growth. Yeah? Mm-hmm. If I'm external talent and I have good digitization skills, software skills, and I have an offer from Amazon and from Deutsche Telekom, I, of course, would value how fast can I grow in the organization. Yeah, what is the speed I can develop? Mm-hmm. And I think this is something we have to reflect, how many doors are open at Deutsche Telekom to these talents, and how fast can we grow them within our organization? Yeah, to be as fast as other companies are currently developing these young people.
Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. This is also, I think, one of our ingredients, Hannah, to investigate for. That's this continuous learning. How can you stay up to date? How can you upgrade yourself? And how you be not on mute when you do that? Yeah. So how you can communicate per se. So what it's fascinating. What we are ending up with a passion, integrity, resilience, and continuous learning. Yeah, continues getting the new skills you need for the future.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like all of the episodes of this season of the podcast end in the same place. And we didn't plan for that.
Maybe there is something in it.
There is something in it, you know, because we're in the hunt for what is it that we are missing? You know, what? How can we support people and develop people so that, yes, we need to hire, but we also have to, we have the inside gig of people. You know, we have so much inside the team. How can activate that and find people for passion and give the jobs that they can really make an impact? Yeah.
Let's work on that.
Time-wise, Hannah, I think we could go on and on. There is a lot of topics to dig deeper, but unfortunately, time is running by. And we are opening a talent hub inside Deutsche Telekom. We are on the search and hunt for talent who really has a passion for the work they do, for the commercial, for the customer, for the technology and digital. So it's easy to find us on Yum. Just type talent hub and you will find all the information. Externally, we are going to be sharing episodes and reflections as well. Mladen, Rolf, thank you. It was like
thank
one
you so much
thank
for you. Joining
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
It was a
thank
pleasure,
you.
Ladies.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Stay safe.
Likewise. Say hello
likewise.
To Oslo.
Bye-bye.
Yeah.
To find out the deeper meaning of talent and its human aspects in business environments, subscribe to the Human Centric Podcast and stay tuned.